Hey, welcome everyone. I've been talking for about 5 minutes to no one. I'll start again. Welcome to the afternoon session of this Fellowship of the Spirit International Easter Lockdown. I'd just quickly like to thank Tom and Juanita and Trent for the previous session. I left them in the breakout room and I couldn't get back in there to thank them. So thank you guys. Also to our hosts this morning, Jason and Bobby, you did a great job. And our chairs, Nikki G, Jason G, and Trent. Before I throw to our chairperson, Rangi P, for this session, I wonder if we could just together say the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Okay, it gives me great pleasure to throw over to Rangi P now, who is going to chair our Step 12 panel. Over to you, mate.
Thanks, brother. Greetings all. My name's Rangi Marie, but you can call me Rangi if you want, and I'm an alcoholic, grateful alcoholic. I'm a grateful member of the Carimba Unity Group, which meets in Sydney, Australia. And welcome everyone to the Step 12 panel of the Fellowship of the Spirit Easter Lockdown. I ask that we all observe a few moments silence to reflect upon our primary purpose and the still sick and suffering alcoholic and their family members, both in the rooms. Thank you. Thank you. We have three speakers on this panel. Each has been provided with a reading upon which we have asked them to share their experience. For 15 minutes, each panel will be followed by a 30-minute Q&A session. Please send your questions via the chat function on your Zoom display when prompted, and we will attempt to get through as many of these as possible. Our first reading comes from page 15 of the Big Book. It was not too well. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I've gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. Chapter 1, Bill's Story, page 15. I would now like to introduce Darren D from Sydney, Australia, to share for 15 minutes.
Thanks, Rangi. Thanks, Damo. Thanks, everyone who had anything to do with organising this fantastic weekend. It's been really enjoyable so far. I've really enjoyed what I've been able to log on and listen to. So thank you, everyone who have presented so far. As I said, my name's Darren, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a member of a strong three legacy group here in Sydney called the Carimba Unity Group. We meet four times a week. I'm sober today through God's grace. It isn't of me. I've come to believe that it happens to me, probably through me, that I get to stay sober today through God's grace. I have a sobriety date. It's May the 27th of 1994, and I was struck sober. I'm very grateful for that. Been asked to talk on Step 12 and specifically on that particular reading, and I'm the type of alcoholic that is very much a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There weren't too many people welcoming me back to their party, welcoming me back to their homes. In fact, I think the only people who were looking for me towards the end of my drinking wanted to lock me up. There was no one left. I drank my way through every friendship, every employer, through everything, and landed with you. And I ended up in a detox. They explained to me that they would be able to remove alcohol from my system over the next 7 to 10 days, but they didn't have the necessary solution for me. They said, what we're going to do is we're going to take you to the number one organisation on the planet for treating alcoholism. Every night we're going to put you on that bus, we're going to take you to them, and they're going to administer the solution. And they brought me to you. And I can still remember getting out of that bus on that first night, and they all just lit up like Christmas trees. They came running out of the hall. Oh, look, here's some new guys. I can still remember the look in their eyes. They were filled with joy, with love, with a passion. And in this reading, am I willing to abandon myself with enthusiasm to the idea of helping others? It's that. It's hunting drunks. It's like looking like Elmer Fudd out there hunting drunks. Yeah? And these guys ran out of the hall, and I can still remember a lovely older lady looking me square in the eyes, grabbing me by the shoulders and saying, welcome home. Welcome home. We've been waiting for you. Come inside out of the cold. And it was freezing. It was the middle of winter. Come inside out of the cold. I like to think by the look of her face, she was thinking something along the lines of, I'm really sorry that you needed to be out here for so long. I wish we could have got to you sooner. And I came inside out of the cold. And I was loved back to life. As my good friend Don will probably talk about a little bit later on, they held up a piece of cardboard around my spirit that was nearly blown out. And they loved me back to life. Now, I didn't sort of fall into a big book group. I didn't fall in amongst a group who dragged me through the book straight away. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just sharing my experience. But at about 3 years sober, I did fall into a group just like that. And there was a gentleman by the name of Phil who took me under his wing. And he fortunately was properly armed with facts about himself. He knew what alcoholism was. He knew it from his drinking, from being sponsored using this book by another man who was properly armed with facts about himself as well. And Phil took me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I come to understand that I suffered from the physical craving, the mental obsession, and the spiritual malady of alcoholism. And what a gift. What an absolute gift. Up until that point, I thought that I was just a loser. Up until that point, you know, everyone said to me that you'll be fine if you just stop drinking. And I thought that, if I could just stop drinking, everything would be okay. And it was never okay. My life was never okay. I've never known how to live life. I've always been plagued with self-pity, self-hatred. Always, my entire life, alcohol was the solution to that. Bill talks about in this reading a design for living. And man, do I need a design for living, because I don't know how to do this thing. I've never known how to do this thing. Of myself, I can't live a successful life. Of myself, eventually the pain will get so much that the stinking thinking will come back and I'll start thinking drinking. Because that's the only thing I got. You know, it's not like I have a strange mental blank spot and I forget. I know that happens for lots of people. I just say, stuff it. I can't do this anymore. Hand me a gun or hand me a drink. Because I don't know how to live. And that's the great message of this book. For people like me who don't know how to live without fear, without self-pity, without self-hatred, we get given a way of life, a set of tools that transforms me. It's like spiritual alchemy. It transforms me from the inside out. Like, you know, the old alchemist lead to gold, it turns this self-centered, selfish, full of self-pity, full of self-hatred, useless drunk into something useful. Our third step promises tell me that if I stick close to him and perform his work well, all of my needs will be met. And that's been my experience. I get out into the world like Elmer Fudd and I start hunting drunks and all of my needs are met. Now, does that mean everyone likes me? No. Does that mean I get the approval of my peers? No. Does it mean that I'm not plagued with self-pity? No. Does it mean that I get to order that triple black Porsche turbo? No. What does it mean? It means that I don't have to live in self-pity, self-hatred and fear every minute of every day anymore. And what a wonderful promise. And I believe that's the biggest promise of our book, that I get to have a spiritual awakening. And there's lots of debate about whether or not this information was known prior to Bill Wilson getting sober. I think we probably knew it to a certain extent in the Oxford groups, but it really wasn't until Wilson was about 6 months sober that this hit home. We go back even further and Wilson's in the hospital after having this spiritual experience and someone hands him William James's book, Varieties of Religious Experience, and he starts reading it because he wants to know whether he's insane or not. He wants to know whether this spiritual experience that he had and this drivenness to go and help drunks that he felt was real. And William James ratified Wilson's spiritual experience. In that book, it says, if people have had a real spiritual experience, you can't quench their fire. You can't put them out. Watch them. Watch them by their works. They'll be out there running around like chooks with their heads chopped off, hunting people to help. And that's Wilson through and through. You could have 1,000 people from New York with fire extinguishers and tried to put that fire out, and you would have been able to. Wilson never once gave up hunting for people like you and me, and I'm so grateful for that. Never once gave up. He was on fire because of the spiritual awakening that he had. At 6 months sober, by that stage, he tried to help around about 100 people get sober. And he probably did it a lot like I did when I was new, in all the wrong ways. I came from a position of ego for a long time, with facts and figures for a long time. And Wilson was coming at it from the spiritual perspective. He was sharing what happened to him in the hospital and saying, and this God thing is real, and you need to get God too, and then you'll have what I have. And they all just kept running away, kept running away. And on one particular morning, a drunk got up, and as he was running away, he stole their coffee pot. And he probably headed to the pawnbroker to pawn the coffee pot so that he could get some money for booze. And Wilson woke up, he came downstairs, and he noticed the coffee pot was gone. And he said, that's it, I'm done. Enough of this trying to help people. Look at you, Lois. You're the daughter of a physician. You should be living an upper-class lifestyle, but yet you're down there at the department store working. Your clothes have holes in them. You've got patches on your elbows. You should be living an amazing life, but no, you're here and I'm not working, and that's it, I'm done. I'm going to stop this helping drunks business because it's not working. Not one single drunk has stayed sober. And Lois said, but Bill, you're sober. And what a miraculous line. Many times during her life, she was asked, where did that come from? And being so humble, she would always say, I think we both know where that line came from. It wasn't of me. They both looked at each other, fell to their knees in tears, and thanked God that Bill was sober. when Bill got to work, he went back to Silkworth. Silkworth said, well, what have you been doing? And he told him how he had been making his approach. And Silkworth said, no, stop with this spiritual stuff. These drunks are God shy. Start with the disease concept. And the rest is history. Bill went to Akron, told Dr. Bob his story. Dr. Bob got sober, and here we are, 85, just short of 85 years later. 2 million drunks sober. I'm here to report that in the 9,000 years since men first started crushing grapes, there has not been a more successful enterprise on the planet for sobering drunks up than this. We're living in the shortest little capsule of time where there's been a solution to alcoholism. What a beautiful thing. And all I've got to do is follow the directions. Take the guys through the book, read the book line by line, get them to take the actions like I took the actions, and we get access to this spiritual alchemy, this amazing transformational process of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous that converts me, a useless drunk, a bug, a caterpillar, into a beautiful butterfly. I get to fly. My passions are on fire. My spirit's on fire. I get to get out there and have a life beyond my wildest dreams. Because I'm regularly with the new guy across the dining room table. I'm properly armed with facts about myself. And I'm free, man. I'm free today. There are a couple of stories that I'd like to share in the last couple of minutes. I'm a sales guy. I signed this great deal in about 2010, 29, something like that. It was a great deal. It was the biggest paycheck I'd ever seen in my whole life. Some of you are in sales and will understand that. And I was at a work conference and the deal was slowly falling apart. Yeah, we're about a month in. It's starting to be unstitched. Guy's ringing me. He's nearly abusing me. I don't know what to do. I'm in full self-reliance. I'm trying to get this thing fixed. Every phone call gets worse and worse and worse. He's like, I think we need to undo the deal. I'm not paying this invoice. And the phone rings. And it's that guy. We've all got that guy on our phone that we don't really want to answer the phone to because they're really annoying. And I pick up the phone and I go, g'day, man, how you doing? And he goes, not good. I want to die. I've had enough. I'm out of here. And we talked on the phone for over an hour. And I don't know what I said, but I do know this. I got off the phone and people from my work and people from the customer's work had been fixing that problem for over an hour while I was on the phone helping God's kids. And I went through all of those messages after the phone call because they'd been ringing me that whole hour and a half. And the deal was salvaged by my higher power while I was busy helping his kids. And I didn't have to hand back that very large paycheck as a result. And that's the story of my life in step 12. I can still remember when one of my sponsees passed away. And we've all, unfortunately, if we stick around long enough, this is going to be part of all of our stories. And I remember how much pain I was in. I remember the grief that I was in. I remember how many times he drank again. And every time he came back, we got back to the book and we went through the book and we laughed and we cried. And you know, there was all these sort of very emotional appeals of me on him to not drink again. And eventually he died, drank again and died. And the pain lasted for a really long time. And I recognized at some point that I'd been taking responsibility for the success cases. And therefore, I had to take responsibility for the failures. And I've got to tell you, from that point on, I've never taken responsibility for any of the success stories. From that point on, yes, it's still is painful when people don't make it. but I no longer take responsibility for the failures or for the success stories. I know that it's all God's plan. And I'll leave you with a message from my sponsor that I first heard him share with me about a decade ago. He said, "Darren, you're already enough. You don't need to be anything more than you already am. There's nothing missing. You don't need to add anything. God's already forgiven you everything. It's time you accepted that forgiveness. You're perfectly imperfect just the way you are. The process of recovery is the process of letting go of all the things that aren't the real you so that you can get in this moment as you and live life. It's extremely impolite of you to not like you, to have self-hatred, because God made you exactly the way you are and he has a plan for you in your life. You have to turn up as the real you." In the words of Eminem, "Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I've got to get out there in my day and I've got to front up as me because everyone else is already taken. God's made me so that I can go and help God's kids. And not everyone will be helped by me, but there's a bunch of people out there that somehow react well to my form of passion, to my form of I love Alcoholics Anonymous, to my form of this way of life. And I know it's time, so I'll just like to end by saying that I really do love Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't wait to hear the other speakers this weekend. Thank you so much, Damo, and the FOTS International Committee. I'd like to thank God one more time for everything that's been gifted me, including my sobriety. Thanks.
Thanks, Darren.